Welcome to Twist, This Week in Sea Turtles.
So we'd like to welcome everybody to Twist 3, This Week in Sea Turtles, for the week of, what week is this? June 12th.
Yes.
The week of June 12th. And this is actually a delayed twist. We had meant to cover this topic a while back, but we've had technical difficulties. I'm here with Matthew Godfrey, who is the Sea Turtle Coordinator for the state of North Carolina. And we usually have Manjula Tiwari with us, who works for NOAA in San Diego. But she has been traveling in Indonesia, and she had has a satellite phone with her and was going to call in to do an episode with us, but we had some technical difficulties. we should be clear on that. Everybody else was fine. It was just me. And so what we did do is Manjula was able to call in with the folks that she was working with in the field and leave us basically voicemail messages. And so we are going to play those for you. And basically, Manjula was in Irian Jaya, Indonesia. And what was the beach, Matthew?
Forgive my pronunciation, but I think it's Jemersba Medi, which is on the north coast of Bird's Head Peninsula.
Okay. I'll see if I can find a map, and I'll link to it in the show notes.
Yeah, I got a map. I can send it to you.
Okay. So Manjula is acting as a research advisor, because they've been experiencing low hatchling production there on that beach. And with the first bit,
this is a leatherback beach, right?
Right, this is a leatherback beach. Right. And the first bit of audio that we have is about 5 minutes long, and she's talking to Krusa Hitapiu. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And she's the Marine Coordinator with WWF Indonesia. And also Ricardo Tapilatu, who is a lecturer at the State University of Papua. And so this is a collaborative project where they're looking at the what's causing the low hatchling production and doing some nest relocation from high risk to low risk areas. So we're going to cut that in right now.
Hi, Michael and Matthew. This is Manjula calling from Jemersba Medi Beach in Irian Jaya, which is now known as Papua, in easternmost Indonesia. I hope you can hear the ocean in the background. Well, this is one of the last strongholds for leatherbacks in the Pacific, and I'm here as a research advisor as part of a collaboration between NOAA Lab in San Diego and WWF Indonesia. This beach appears to have a chronically low hatchling production, so I'm primarily here to help set up projects looking at hatchling production and factors impacting hatching success, and also to help make management recommendations. There are two people here with me, Ricardo Tapilatu, who is a lecturer at the State University of Papua and who is my research collaborator. And also with me is Teta Hitapiu, who's the Marine Coordinator for WWF. And I'll let each of them tell you a little bit about what they do here at Jemersba Medi. So here's Teta Hitapiu first.
Hello, I'm Teta Hitapiu. As Manjula said, I've been working for WWF Indonesia on Marine Seasonal Vision Program. And leatherback turtle is one of our flagship species that we are focusing on. Jemersba Medi Beach and Wamun Beach is one of our site conservation projects, and my particular role in this project is coordinating this series of activities with partners like NOAA, NIMS, and San Diego Lab, local communities and local government partners on beach management and marine polluted area planning and implementation. And I give it later to Happy Lato.
Hello, Mike. I'm Ricardo Tapilatu. Just call me Ricky. I'm a junior lecturer and researcher at the Marine Science Department of the State University of Papua, or UNIPA. I was interested in doing research on turtle when I took my master at James Cook University in Australia. At the uni, I got a chance to work with some turtle experts, such as Dr. Emma Garris from James Cook University and Dr. Colin Lintus from Queensland Department and Natural Resource. Back to Indonesia in 2001, then I started working with research with WWF, mostly with Lebebek in Yamushma Medi and Warmon. And then I also have a chance to work with TP in Bintuni Bay to do the ecological assessments on turtle components in that area. And then earlier this year, I got a chance facilitated by WWF to do the marine rapid assessment program about turtle in Cendrawasi Bay. So now I'm standing in Yamushna Medi Beach with my colleagues, Dr. Manjula Tiwari from National Marine and Fisheries Service, and then Keta Itipiu from WWF. Here, my role is to coordinate research to continue evaluate of the hatching success of the leatherback nest in Yamushna Medi and possible to introduce some actions to relocate nests from the high risk area to more safe area. I also bring some of my students. This is a good chance for students from our university to involve in this research, and they mostly partake in this research as a data collector and then to supervise the data collection by the local patroller here. Yeah. So that's all from my side, and then I to Manjula. Thank you.
All right, guys, that's about all for now. We will call again, I guess, in a week or so to give you an update on what's going on when Michael, you're in the Cayman Islands. And if you can patch us in, we'll give you an update on what's been happening since we got here. Otherwise, that's all for now. Bye.
So, apologize for the audio quality on the recording from Angela, but we felt like even though the quality wasn't great, we felt that it was important to play this for everybody because we're actually getting word from folks in the field that are we typically
on the other side of the world.
On the other side of the world, on a remote beach,
yeah.
With I'm guessing no electricity and very few amenities,
yeah.
Thought it was kind of cool that she was able to call in a report on a satellite phone. It would have been even cooler if we could have done it live.
Yeah.
But we're hoping to be able to do more things like this, hopefully with a little better audio quality. Mm-hmm. But you know, basically hear from folks all around the world that are doing work, basically in all corners on sea turtles. So Matthew, you were just saying that there's actually two nesting beaches side by side there. Is that right?
Yeah, sort of side by side. Just that these two beaches, Jamurspa Medi and Warmon, are on the north coast of the Bird's Head Peninsula in Irian Jaya, Indonesia. And these are the last two, or I don't know if they're the last two, but they're two of the largest leatherback nesting sites in the Pacific that remain. So they're considered vitally important for Pacific leatherback populations, and that's part of the reason why Manjula is there in the first place. Leatherbacks swim across the Pacific to the west coast of the U.S. and hang out in waters over there. They don't really nest on the west coast of the U.S., but if the United States is going to keep leatherbacks healthy in their waters, they have to protect the nesting grounds, which are on the other side of the Pacific. So that's why she's over there helping out, setting up a collaborative conservation project on those nesting beaches. And they get, I think they get about 2,500 nests a year, more or less. There's some variation, those two beaches. So maybe combined 4,000 to 5,000 nests, leatherbacks per year.
Right. It's worth pointing out that if there ever has been any sea turtle nesting on the west coast of the U.S., I'm guessing it hasn't been very much, but I'm guessing there probably hasn't been any, and that's primarily because of the water temperatures there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just too cold to support sea turtle nesting, so it's not like we're trying to recover nesters. It's just that the population of leatherbacks that exist along the west coast comes from someplace else, and in order to maintain the population there on the west coast, we have to work to preserve turtles elsewhere. And this gets at sort of an emerging issue with regard to sea turtle research and sea turtle conservation, in that it's not just, you know, one country's problem. That, you know, turtles obviously don't recognize international boundaries, and they go where they go, and having consistent laws and consistent protections for them, or I should say, if we have an area where they're not as well protected, you know, one country is not protecting them as well as another, they could be taking another country's resource, in effect, depending on how you look at it. So,
And there's all that expertise in the Southwest Regional Fishery Science Center as part of NOAA. They've got a great sea turtle team there, so they've got lots of expertise that they can share with other groups, other nations, other NGOs.
Right, they really do. It seems like they do a lot of international work as well, a lot of work in Central and South America and around the Pacific.
Yeah.
Okay, so anything else to add to what those guys had to say?
Yes. Well, it's great. It's great to see, like you said, to see these international collaborations. And I think it's not really a top-down collaboration. It's much more of a capacity building effort, with the idea being that hopefully they'll be set up to do their own kinds of things, and that's why they're getting local researchers involved and members of WWF Indonesia, etc., rather than just moving in and making it their personal research playground.
Right. Well, that leads in perfectly to the second recording that Manjula sent us, in terms of capacity building and that sort of thing. She mentions in the recording that they're holding English classes during the day for who, I can't remember who it was.
I think it was the local patrollers that they hired.
The patrollers, yeah.
Keep tabs on the numbers of turtles coming up. Yeah.
Right. So I thought that was a very interesting little bit. So let's go ahead and listen to that now.
Okay.
Hello, Michael and Matthew. Manjula here. So with me here is Ricardo Tapilasu, my research collaborator from the State University of Papua. We've been at the beach for the past 2 weeks, and it's been a very busy 2 weeks, a little steep and very hot days. For the past week at least, we have been waking up at 3 a.m. and walking over rocks and fallen trees at high tide in the dark to get to the beach, which is a couple of kilometers away, to relocate nests that the night patrol team has marked for us. During the daytime, we try to catch a few winks of sleep in our overheated tents, and in the evening, we try and have English classes for the local patrollers. So all in all, we have been really busy. And yesterday, there was great excitement at camp because two mating green turtles washed ashore with another two greens, probably males, hovering around them. And as you can imagine, this led to a series of jokes. Anyway, I don't want to hog up the time, and I'll let Ricky tell you more about the research aspects. Bye.
Hello, Mike, and all fellow turtles. I'm Ricardo Tapiratu, just call me Ricky, a junior staff and researcher at the State University of Papua. I'm here to represent our university in collaboration with WWF Indonesia Program, National Marine and Fisheries Service, NOAA, Indonesian Natural Protection Agency, Sponsero, and the rest of the dog at Jamus Mamedi Beach. We have been partake in this collaborative research in Jamus Mamedi since 2004. This year, I bring two students in Jamus Mamedi to study research on whether they pass in experimental plots. We designed 13 plots for the entire area of Jamus Mamedi, and we put 12 temperature workers in the plot. We also work with local people to detect female effects and to mark new nests. Mark new nests to be located in the morning to hatchery site. We also put 6 loggers in new nests. We encounter to evaluate how temperature inside nest impacts the hatching factor. I bring 4 students to continue the collection at the end of this nesting season. Important of our university in this collaboration is important to promote research on the temperature for our students and faculty members, and directly to conserve one of our wonderful nature in the Pacific region. Thank you, and see you next time.
All right, guys, that's all for now.
Okay, so that is the I should say that the first recording was sent on May 31st. And Manjula mentioned in the second recording, which was made on June 9th, that they had been in the field for a couple of weeks at that point. So it sounds like... Go ahead.
Couldn't tell from their enthusiasm.
That's right. Still sounded fresh after two weeks in the field.
Yeah.
One of the interesting little tidbits I thought was interesting that they had 2 mating green turtles wash ashore. And this is something that I've always wondered about. I've not had a lot of experience with looking at turtles off the nesting beach, or being involved in any kind of research looking at that sort of thing. And the idea that of these aggregations off the nesting beach of males and females, and that's where supposedly a lot of the mating takes place. Are you familiar with any of that, Matthew?
Yeah, sure. And I'm sure you've seen it. You've probably seen it. You just didn't realize it.
Yeah, it's true.
Floating pairs. So, it's pretty common. You hear stories of that happening fairly often. Males being so tenacious that they'll just hang on even if the turtles are washed up out of the surf. And I've even heard a story in Brazil where a female crawled out of the surf with a male still attached, and she actually nested.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's on Atoll dos Roques in Brazil. But I think they've got photos. Projeto Tamar has photos of that. But
right.
Well, just to show you.
I think Manjula mentioned that there were 2 males that were lingering around as these other 2 turtles washed ashore.
Yeah. Yeah. One track mind, I guess.
Yeah. So very focused.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So hopefully, I got a message from Manjula today that she's actually on her way back home. And hopefully we can get an updated report from her in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
Give us some interim results. Tell us a little bit about what it was like in the field and what they think mm-hmm. they found. I'm guessing it'll take some time, obviously, to work up all the information.
Particularly
with the data loggers that they said they put in the nests.
Mm-hmm.
So, you've been involved in a lot of work like this. What are the sorts of things that they'd be looking for, Matthew?
Part of it is, like she said, that there's inundation of nests. Nests are getting wiped out. There's low hatching success. So they're investigating the use of relocation, transferring nests from low down the beach to higher up the beach as a possible conservation strategy. And it's a useful tool, but you have to be careful because you might be changing the thermal environment of the eggs. And so what that might impact the sex ratio, because as everybody knows, the sex of the hatchlings is determined by temperature. So I think that's where the data loggers come in. They're trying to see if the areas where they're relocating nests are similar to have similar thermal properties as nests, the locations where the nests were originally laid. which is great. It's good they're doing that because there's been a lot of discussion from Malaysia about the leatherback population that crashed there. There's been some speculation that they crashed because too few males were being produced by nests that were relocated into a hatchery that was too hot,
right?
And producing only females.
So yeah, there's actually been some news headlines in the last few days that highlighting the fact that I guess the nesting season has started there again, or what should be the nesting season, and there's no turtles coming.
Right.
I'll put some links to those stories into the show notes. So people can get an idea of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's definitely something to be aware of. And I think we actually have talked about. There's a recent paper by Alan Foley, looking at nest and sand condition or nest conditions, I guess thermal conditions, in 10,000 Islands and
in Florida.
In Florida, yep. Right? And we're going to talk about that in a future episode.
Yeah.
So go get that paper and read it before we do.
maybe we can post the reference.
Right. Yeah, I'll post the reference on the show notes. But it really sort of highlights the intangibles, all the things that you have to take into consideration when you want to protect sea turtles. It's not always as simple and straightforward as you think. You know,
right.
Just moving nests out of the high tide area, into a drier area because you think you're going to protect them that way. But there could be long-term impacts on the population.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point.
So I think that'll do it for now. We'll see if we can get some more feedback on the trip from Angela in a future episode. And I'll just go ahead and say that also last week, part of the technical difficulties were that I was in the Cayman Islands, and I had a chance to sit down with Catherine Bell and talk a little bit about the recent controversy over the Cayman Turtle Farm sending some turtles to aquariums in Europe. And so there's been a bit of controversy, a bit of back and forth in the news about that between different organizations. And we'll talk about that a little bit.
Very interesting.
Very interesting, yes.
Indeed. And rather ironic, too.
Yes, it is.
But we won't give it away.
Right, we won't give it away. So that's on the burner, literally and figuratively. And we'll get that out and hopefully in the next few days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's it for twist number 3, and we'll see you again, or you'll hear from us again, hopefully in a few days.
Yep, and thanks, many thanks to Manjula for taking the time and effort to send us those voicemails.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure she was going crazy trying to, hoping that the stuff was coming in and that we were getting it and that we were actually doing something useful with it. And
yeah.
Hopefully I haven't upset her too much by taking so long and getting it all together.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. You're taking lead, right?
Yeah. All right. I don't know. I really don't understand.
My mind.
Calling, and if you do, please use the second recording because I think our first sound got better on the second recording. Anyway, talk to you soon and good night from here.